Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Tzadik. We will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Pei Tes Omid Beis, 13 lines from the bottom. Tayag Doshe says, V'chiyak ishas ein avdo yis ein amosoi, V'shich asol l'chofshi yishol cheno tachas einoi. V'shein einoi shein avdo yishen amosoi yapa l'chofshi yishol cheno tachas einoi. The brisa that we're going to discuss now speak about an eved who is Nechsim Alug. As we've been discussing in our shiurim, a wife could bring assets into a marriage one of two ways. It could be Nechsim Tzoyim Bazel, which are those assets are written into the Ksuba, and they're evaluated, assessed at that time, and that's what she will get when the marriage ends, that value. Or she could get Nechsei, she could bring Nechsim Malug. The way Nechsim Malug are that is that they really belong to her, but even though they really belong to her, the husband gets the payris, and then when the marriage ends, she gets back those assets. So the question that we're going to discuss now is, as we learned, as I just read the pasuk in the Torah, that if our owner knocks out one of the Rashi Avarim of his Eved, the Eved goes free. The question is, who is considered the owner of the Eved? The wife who owns these Nechsim Malug, or the husband who gets the payers of Nechsim Malug? So suggests the Gemara. We've been learning for our last two Shiurim, the Takanas Usha, that if a woman sells off her Nechsim Malug while her husband was alive, then she predeceases her husband, the sale is voided, and he gets those assets. Suggests the Gemara that this discussion about the Takanas Usha, perhaps Tanoihi is Machlokes Tanoi, the Tani Chada. There's one Braisa that says that when we speak about the Avdi Malug, if the woman brought into the marriage of Avadim Knanim as Nechsei Malug, there's no question that the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, says the Meiri, are considered the husband's assets. The discussion we're having here is regarding Nechsei Malug. The Tanicha, the one price that teaches us, Avdi Malug, when we speak about Avadim Kananim, which are Nechsei Malug, says one Tana, are considered Yoitzin Be'Shein Ve'ayin Le'isha Avloy Le'ish. They're considered the assets of the wife. And since they consider the assets of the wife, if she was the one to knock him out, that's when the Eved will go free. But not if the husband is the one that does so. The Tanya Idach, and there's a Braisa that says, Loilish v'loilisha, that this halacha that we've been just mentioning doesn't apply, not for the husband and that, and not for the husband and not for the wife. Gemara will explain. So says the Gemara. Savrua, because they thought to understand this question, the Kul Alma that everybody agrees, Kinyan Paris Lavka Kinyan Aguf Dami. Somebody who only has a Kinyan HaPeris, that doesn't have the ownership, he only has the right to use this asset, which, as we learned two shiurim ago, is the opinion of Reish Lakish, and that the Halacha is like Reish Lakish, my Lav. And now the Gemara says, the Bahag, what is the machlokes that the Braisa that we just quoted about? The mandamer Leisha, the mandam that says that it's the wife who is considered the owner of these avodim who are nechsim malug, less like the Takanas Usha, does not hold of the Takanas Usha, and if she sells off those assets, the sale will be considered a valid sale. And since it's considered a valid sale, so she is the owner. The second opinion that said neither of them is like the Takanas Usha, agrees with the Takanas Usha, and since they hold with the Takanas Usha that she has no right to sell it, and if she'll sell it, and then she dies before the husband, then the husband will take back those assets. So it shows that he has a real ownership in them, and therefore neither is considered the owner, and therefore this halacha doesn't apply. Says Marloi, it could be the Kulam is the Takanas Usha. Everybody's agreeable with the Takanas Usha. What is the machloikas here? Elkan, Kaim Takana. The Braisa that says that she is considered the owner is speaking before the Takana's Usha was put into place. The Kalacha Takana. The Braisa that says the neither has this right is speaking after the Takana's Usha was put in place. Bibai Seima. Another way to understand the machlokes between the two braises, the EDV de lach takana. Both braises are speaking about after the takanas usha was put into place. And everybody is in agreement with the takanas usha that Chazal took away that right from the wife to sell the assets, or if better said, that if she sold those assets and then she were to die before the husband, he would be the owner of those assets. Lamanda amal le'isha v'loy le'ish. So if that's the case, so her rights to these assets have been severely diminished. So the question now is, my tama, what is the reason that she has still the halacha being the owner of the eved? And if she were to take out one of the Rashi Avarim, he will go free to the Rava. It's based on what Rava said. I'm a Rava. Rava told us, Hegdish, if somebody has an obligation on an asset, and then he was magdish that asset, and the Rishonim point out that the hegdish that we're speaking about is presumably a hegdish of kedushas haguf, not kedushas by the kabbais. There's some that disagree. Moreover, there's some that say that when we speak about hegdish, we're not talking about only hegdish. We're talking about anything that becomes asa b'hanoah. For example, if somebody has an asset pledged to an obligation, and then he takes that asset and he makes it into tachrich ames, the tachrichim that a nifter wears, then we know that tachrich ames are also b'hanov, the same halacha we're going to learn now applies. So again, Rashi's opinion is that only kedushas haguf has the ability mafkim de shibud to undo a pre-existing shibud on that asset. Whereas the opinion of other Rishonim is that not just Kedushas Aguf, but even Kedushas by the Kabayis has the same ability. Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is that both Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Domim have this ability. The opinion of so again, we have Machlokes. Rashi says only Kedushas Aguf. Rabbeinu Tam says both Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas by the Kabayis. And Rav Hai Goyen's opinion is that it doesn't make a difference if it's Kedushas Aguf or Kedushas by the Kabayis, but that's only in a situation where the person, I obligated myself with a certain asset to pay off a debt that I have, and now I took that asset and I was magdashit. And we're learning now, as we're about to learn, that that has the ability to mafkir midei shibud, to undo that obligation. But that's only, says Rav Hai Goyen, if I have another asset from which to pay off my obligation. But if I do not have any other assets from which to pay off my obligation, says Rav Hai Goyen, being magdashit cannot undo that obligation. The next case is nachri, a chametz. If a Nachri lent money to a Jew, and the Jew put up chametz as collateral, but he didn't put it up as a mashkin. If he put it up as a mashkin, we often discuss that whoever has the mashkin is the party who is responsible. What happened over here was he used the chametz that he said from here as an apoitiki, that I'm going to let you collect from that chametz. And then afterwards that Pesach came, and we know on Pesach, chametz becomes osur b'hano. Then the halach is that fact that I was that even though I put up the chametz as a guarantee for the loan, the fact that it's chametz and it's osur on Pesach undoes that shibud. The Pri Chodesh quotes the Rosh. He says that if the Yisrael made a stipulation with the Nachri that he's not taking responsibility for this chametz, says the Pri Chodesh, that even if the chametz is actually in the possession of the Jew, but the fact that it was obligated to the loan of the goy, and not only was it obligated, but the Jew said that I'm not taking responsibility for chametz, then the halacha is that it would not take off that obligation, and if the nochri could collect from that chametz. And again, says Rashi, that when it says chametz, it doesn't mean specifically chametz. It means anything that's also b'hano. Or shichur, if somebody put up an eved that he could collect his debt, that somebody else could collect his obligation from the eved, and then somebody were free that eved, the halacha is that the eved is considered free, and therefore mafkim de shibud, in all these cases, they could undo any obligation. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that the Tana Kama's opinion is that even though the owner has a right to use that eved, the eved of nichsim malug, but since, just like an eved, if you magdish it, if you mishachar him, if you free him, it undoes that obligation. Knocking out his tooth is the same. That it takes that the eved will no longer undo the knocking out the tooth makes that he's not an eved, and if he's not an eved, you can't collect from him. So Rishonim ask, why if I sell something, if I put something up as an apoteki from which you'll be able to collect your loan, and then I sell it, the halacha should be the same. So he answers, the Rishonim answer, that we can't compare a regular sale to hegdish chametz and shichur, because indeed, if there's a mortgage, if there's a lien on something I'm selling, that prevents the sale from being able to take place. But these acts that the Gemara just identified are stronger than just a regular sale. And therefore, since they're stronger than a regular sale, they're mafkir midei shibud. This Gemara of Hegdish Chametz v'Shichur, mafkir midei shibud, is explained in many different Pidrush as well. The pasuk says, "Kani Hashem alakechem v'skadishtem v'yisem kedoshim, kani Hashem amala eschem eretz Mitzrayim v'yisem kedoshim." So some sefer asks, "Isn't the pasuk redundant?" The pasuk says, "V'skadishtem v'yisem kedoshim, kani Hashem alakechem v'skadishtem v'yisem kedoshim," and then the pasuk says again, "V'yisem kedoshim." So he explains the some sefer that Klal Yisrael was supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. And the reason, and Paroi got that ability because he welcomed Yaakov Avinu when Yaakov Avinu came to Mitzrayim during the hunger year. And Yaakov and his children became Meshubet to Paroi. But what happened? We know the Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim after 210 years. Says the Chassam Sofer, we just learned in our Gemara, Hegdish Chametz Shichur Mafkim Adei Shibud. So if something is Meshubid, but you magdish it, then that obligation dissolves. So says the Pasuk, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I was magdish Klal Yisrael, Kanei Hashem Lekechem, V'yisem, Kedoshim. Because says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only reason you still aren't still avodim, Kani Hashem Amala Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim V'Yisim Kedoshim. The only reason you're not still in Eretz Mitzrayim is because I was magdish you. And if you won't act accordingly, then you'll revert back to being avodim. The Shem Shmuel says that the way to understand this Gemara is because we know the Gemara says that in Shabbos, when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, we don't blow the shofar. Why? He says, because a person who keeps Shabbos has the ability, and that's what the Shmuel Mishul says, that this Gemara is teaching us that three times during the year that have the ability to take us away from any Shibud, from any connection to something which we shouldn't be connected to. One is Shabbos, as the Pasuk says, V'sishmatam v'sishabbos k'kodesh yilochem. So he says, what's the purpose of blowing the shofar? The purpose of blowing the shofar is to detach us from the Yetzer Hara. But therefore, since when Shabbos Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos. So Shabbos already accomplishes that. So since Shabbos already accomplishes that, we don't need the shofar to do so. The same thing, he says, is chametz. If somebody is careful not to eat chametz on Pesach, such a person has nothing to worry about the Yetzahara. So that's the chametz. And the shichur is when you hear the shofar from Rosh Hashanah, in the year where Rosh Hashanah is not on Shabbos. So just like when Yovel, in the time of Yovel, they would blow the shofar, and the blowing of the shofar would recognize that all avodim should go out free. So too, on Rosh Hashanah, when we hear the blowing of the shofar, which represents that we are free of the Yetzahara, mafkiyim midei shibud. Another pshat that I saw, that as we said before, when Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, and we were being taken out after 210 years instead of 400 years, there was a big question that was asked. Why aren't they supposed to be there for 400 years? So what did they do? What they did was that they took the animal, the tzoin, the sheep, which were actually the Avodah Zarah of Paroi, and they tied it to their beds. What were they signifying with that? What they were signifying for that was that we are now Kodesh Lashem, that we are not going to be connected to the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, but on the contrary, we're going to serve Hashem. And now, what the in Hegdish, when you Magdish yourself, and the act of being Magdish those Kabbonis was the act of showing that we are no longer Meshubit to Paroi, we're Meshubit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once we're Meshubit, we're Hegdish to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Paroi's position over us leaves. A similar vart I saw from the Sefer Mishnah Yosef is that he says that the Gemara here is giving us advice. The advice the Gemara is giving us is what is the way for a person to separate himself from being connected to avoid to Yetzirah. One is Hegdish. And that means Kaddish Atzmecha B'motolach. The Ramban, in Parshas Kedoshim, speaks about the word, says Kedoshim to you, explains the Ramban that means that a person, even things that are permissible to him, Kaddish Atzmecha B'motolach, that you should sanctify yourself and not eat, and not have those, not partake of those kind of things. So the first thing is Hegdish, that you should be Magdish yourself, Kaddish Atzmecha B'mutalach. Chametz, the Arizal says that somebody who's careful not to eat chametz on Pesach, says the Arizal, won't do any averus. So the next thing is chametz, not eating any chametz. By not eating chametz, by completely separating oneself from chametz, then that's the next way, mafkim de shibud, of separating ourselves from the Yetzirah. And the third way is shichur. So of course, we've been learning Peshat in the Gemara, Shechur means when you are no longer, when you're free and Eved. But he explains it, that we know Chazal teach us, Ein lecha ben chayrim, there's nobody who's considered a free person, Elami she'osik b'tayra, only somebody who learns Tayra. So Shechur, if somebody learns Tayra, he becomes a ben chayrim, and that's the way he mefki atzmai, that's the way he frees himself midei shibud, from shibud to Yetzirah. So suggest the Gemara, Lema, shall we say what Rava just said is machloikus tanoim, that's going to be machloikus, these two brises. The brise that says that an Eved goes out with Shein Ayin when the woman, Eved Milug, go out with Shein Ayin when the woman is the one that eliminates them, holds that Shichur is mafkir de shibud abal. And the second brisa says, not like that, and that's why neither the husband nor the wife could free him. Says Marloi, that's not the way to learn. The Kulam Isla de Rava, everybody agrees that if you free him, the shibud goes off. What is the machlokes? Vacha, the question here is, al mura abonel shibud abal. How did Chazal look at the husband's right over the eved? Is it just a minimal, or is it considered a very strong relationship that the wife doesn't have the ability to free him just because she is the one that eliminated those Rashi Evarim? Vibay Seima, or we could say, the Kulam Alessal Tanoi Tekunas Usha. Everybody doesn't agree with the Tekunas Usha. And the woman and the wife has a right to sell the Nichsim Malog. What is the Machloikis? We go back to a subject that we've been discussing many times. How does the Halacha look at Kinyan Peiris? V'hocha, the Kinyan Peiris, Kinyan Aguf Dami Kamifgi. The husband certainly has a Kinyan Peiris. The Machloikis here is, how do we look at that Kinyan Peiris? Do we look at it as if that strengthens his position, or we do not? There's another Halacha. If somebody kills Rahman Slan and Evik Kanani, the murderer is Chayiv Misa, as if he would kill a regular Jewish individual. The question is, if an owner killed his Evik Kanani, there's a special din. The Torah says, V'chiyaki ish es avdoi, es hamasai b'shevet, meis tachas yodoi, nokim yonokim, achim yoyma yomayim yamed layokim kakaspahu. So we learn that if the Evik survives for 24 hours, then you're not, if he survives for 24 hours, then the owner is free. If not, he's considered a murderer. There's a special din, which is known as Yoim or Yomayim. And the question is, who is the, again, the owner of the Eved Nichse Malug, that this special room of Yoim or Yomayim will apply to him? But pluk to the Ani Tanoi. So the Gemara wants to say that this is a Machlokes Tanoim. The Tanya Moicha Avdel Av Acher, if somebody sold his Eved Kanani, or Pasikimai, but the seller, the original owner, made up Abanashi Shem Shenesh Loishim Yoim, that the Eved will continue working for his original owner for 30 days. And during those 30 days, he was hit by the Eved, by the owner. Who will the Aloch of Yom Yomayim apply to? Remei Omer Harishin, Yesh Tevedin Yom Yomayim. The first owner has the halacha of Yom Yomayim, because this Eved is still under his control. And he holds, Kesavar, Kinyan Aba, Kinyan Peska, Kinyan Aguf Pnami. Since he's the owner that has the right to use the Eved, so he's the person to whom this halacha will apply to. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says, Sheni Yeshna B'din Yom Yomayim, Neshu Kaspoi, because he is the owner of this Eved, Kesavar. Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is Kinyan Peiris Lavka Kinyan Aguf Dami. That even though the first owner has the right to still use the Eved, that does not make the Eved his. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shneim, both the original owner and the new owner, Yesh Tabedim Yom Yomayim, Zed, the first owner, Neshu Tachtov, he is using him. Zed, Neshu Kasper, because he owns him, and Msapkele, and therefore, Rabbi Yossi is not clear who should be considered the owner. Do we say Kinyan Peiris, Kinyan Aguf Dami, the original owner who's using the Eved should be considered the owner? Or do we say that the second owner who actually owns the Eved should be considered the owner? Kinyan Peiris, Kinyan Aguf Dami, Ilaf, Kinyan Aguf Dami. And we have a rule, Sofak Nefashis Lahakal. Since there's a rule, Sofak Nefashis Lahakal, that's why we're lenient. So the Rishonim explain this halacha, which is often stated in Shas, that Sofek Nefashis Lahakol, where do we learn it from? Because the Pasuk says, B'tzilo Eida, but asks Taisus, here we don't have to have a special rule of Sofek Nefashis Lahakol. We don't know what's going to be the case. One of these two people hit the Eved to the degree that he died within 24 hours, and now we don't know if he's Chayiv Mis, and the Eved did survive past 24 hours, and we don't know if he's Chayiv Mis or not. So if there's a halacha, as Tosfos, that we often state, Hamotzi Mechaveira Olavaraya, which is a halacha that's stated regarding Dine Mamonis, certainly we can't kill a person just out of Sofik. Says Rabbi Chanan, that the Pasuk of Etzilo Eda is a whole different teaching than the halach of Hamotzi Mechaveroi Oliver Raya. He says, when we apply the concept of Hamotzi Mechaveroi Oliver Raya, What that means is, since we don't know what to do, we don't do it. That means we really maybe should kill the shor, but we don't know if the shor killed somebody and we have a moitz mechaveir of a rai, we can't prove it successfully, so we can't kill. That doesn't mean that there is no mitzvah to kill. We just don't know if we should or not. He says the halacha of safek nefashos lahakel, says Rabbi Chanan, is a much stronger halacha. The halacha of safek nefashos lahakel says that when we ever have such a situation, the Torah tells us that there is no question. What the Torah is telling us is that when you have such a circumstance, you have nothing to think about. And you're certainly not, there's no mitzvah at all to consider of killing the murderer. Rabbi Lez Oimer, Shneim Ein B'din Yomi Yomayim. Rabbi Lez says just the opposite. Neither of these two owners will have the loch of Yomi Yomayim. Zel Fisher Tachtov. The second owner is because this evidence is not working for him. And the first owner, Lefish Ein Kaspa. It's not his evid. It says the Gemara. Amar Rava Mai Tamid Rabbi Lezer. Why does Rabbi Lezer hold that neither of these two owners has the halacha of Yomayim? Maybe he should hold like, if he doesn't know, shouldn't he hold like Rabbi Yossi? The Gemara's question is, if you don't know, you should apply the halacha of Yomayim to both of them. Answers the Gemara, the Amar Kra, because Rabbi Lezer's opinion is, the Torah says, Ki Kaspay Hu, and we learn from the words Ki Kaspay Hu, Kaspay Hamayuchadloi. It has to be something that's completely yours. It has to be the exclusive property of the owner. And since neither of these two people is their exclusive property, the halacha of Yom Yomayim will not apply. The Rambam says that the reason that there's a special halacha of Yom Yomayim is because an owner is really allowed to strike his eved. And since an owner is allowed to strike his eved, we're more lenient. Says the Miches Chinuch, that if this is halacha, that an owner is allowed to sell, ask the Miches Chinuch, if the halacha of Yom Yomayim is really telling us that an owner is allowed to strike his eved, so why is it only taught by an eved, which is kaspay hamiyuchadloi? Because the Miches Chinuch asks, according to the way the Gemara is now teaching us, why would be the halacha if an eved is owned by two owners? Will we say that the halacha is that since it's not kaspay hamiyuchadloi, neither owner could strike his eved? Says the Miches Chinuch the following. He says the Rambam in Hilchos Chayvel says that an owner who strikes or injures his own eved is not chayv malchus. But the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin says that if somebody injures his own eved, he is chayv malchus. How do we reconcile the Rambam? Says the Miches Chinuch. He says that in certain cases, one will get malchus even if he hits his own eved. So Miches Chinuch is saying that indeed, that if the Torah is teaching us, if inferred from the halacha of Yom or Yomayim, is that you're not allowed to hit, that you're allowed to hit your eved, it's going to be a very limited halacha. It's going to be the same halacha as Yom Yomayim. And only in the case of Kaspay HaMeyuchadloi is the Torah teaching us that an owner is allowed to strike his eved, under other circumstances not. Says the Gemara. Taman Azlahada Amar Amemer. According to whose opinion is what Amemer taught us go, that is consistent with? Amemer taught us, Ish v'ish shemach nechsem elog, even if they both agree to sell the nechsem elog together, layosav alaykulam, it's meaningless sale. Kaman, Rebbe Lezer. It's going to follow the opinion of Rebbe Lezer, that in order to be considered an eved, it has to be miyuchad. Here too, if it's not miyuchad to either of them, it's not a valid sale. Says the Gemara, Mat Tana l'hod atonu merabonin. Misha chetzi yav v'chetzi ben chayrim. If somebody is half eved, half ben chayrim, or somebody is an eved of shnei shutfin that we just discussed, the halacha of Rosh Yavorim don't apply. Ein yoytzim b'Rosh Yavorim shen chayzrim. Amalei Rav Matzach Rav Shmuel, hocha amri m'shmei d'rava, Rebbe Lezer hi. Milai Rebbe Lezer, didn't Rebbe Lezer say that when the pasuk says, kaspoi, as we just described and taught, Rav Elazar's opinion means kasbay hamiyuchadloi. It has to be only kasbay hamiyuchadloi. So too, regarding an eved going out, that we began our shiur with today, with the Rashi Avarim, it has to be avdai hamiyuchadloi. And so too, when selling assets, the only assets that you have the ability to sell, according to Rav Elazar, are assets that are miyuchadloi. But nichsim alug are not miyuchad, not to the husband, nor to the wife. And since they're not miyuchad, not to the husband, not to the wife, neither of them has the right to sell them. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, hatakeya l'chaveroi. If somebody blows into somebody else's ear, and that, of course, is a very embarrassing act, so the halach is, as we learned in the previous perek, previous shiurim, you have to pay boishes, nois and loiseller. So the Torah says that you have to be, there's a seller for boishes. And the way Rashi explains, that while we're focused on, the payment that our Mishnah is focused on, is on the boishes payment. And if there would be reason to pay tsar, ripu, and shevis this case, then you would have to pay the tsar, ripu, and shevis. The Rif and the Rambam disagree. And they say that the way to learn the Mishnah is that Chazal predetermined that in such a situation of a tekei l'chaveroi, paying the seller covers all costs, tsar, ripu, and shevis, boishes. Yudav Mishnah Rabbi Yosef Glili, the amount is mana, which is 25 Slaim. Sotroi, if somebody slapped him on the face, noisenloi is Messiahim. The amount that has to be paid is 200 zuz as the boishes. If somebody hit him lachi yadoi with the back of his hand, which apparently if somebody does so, it's even more embarrassing, the loch is noisenloi abamezuz. Then the loch says that you have to pay for 400 zuz. Not tsaram oznoi, if he pulled his ear, talish basaroi, he pulled out his hair, rokak, he spat at him, vegia by roikoi, to the degree that the spit hit the person who was spat at, hever talesoi mimenu, if somebody took off his garment from him, and he was left without wearing a garment, para roish isha b'shuk, he took off the head covering of a woman publicly, and I saw that the Ben Yoyod explains that the gematria of noshim, the gematria of woman, is 400. And therefore, the payment for uncovering a woman's hair is 400 zuz. Para roi sheisha b'shuk. In all these cases, nois and loi, the halacha requires that you should pay a boishes payment again, but of 400 zuz. And I saw that the Sefer Taras Chaim explains, why do we find that Chazal was so concerned about the boishes? He says, because we think about a person, every human being is made up of a guf and a neshama. And what is the primary part of what makes us who we are? The neshama. All the other payments, the nezek, tsar, ripui, sheves, don't speak to the neshama of a person. The sensitivity of a person is obviously in his neshama. And because of that, says the Taras Chaim, we find that Chazal were much more concerned about the boishes payment and much stricter, as we're learning in our Gemara, because much stricter than in any other payment. Zeh klal. And then, says the Mishnah, hakol fi kvoidai. When we determine the boishes payment, says the Mishnah now, it isn't equal in all situations. We have to see who was the person who was embarrassed. And if it was a more important person who was embarrassed, that would raise the boishes payment. I'm Rabbi Kiva. So the Rabbi Kiva says that isn't true. Afila Nian Shav Yisrael, even the poorest people in Klal Yisrael, Rayna Yisrael B'nei Chayrim, the Halacha tells us to view them as free people. But unfortunately, Yardim and Chaseim, that they had a financial downturn, but that doesn't diminish their significance. Because every Jew Hein b'nei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov are descendants of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. And says the Mishnah, there was a situation where somebody removed the head covering of a woman. They removed the head covering of a woman publicly. And she brought this situation to Rekiva. And Rekiva said, as we just learned in the Mishnah, that the payment is Arba Mezuz. So the person who had done this terrible act asked the Rekiva, Tenli Zman, give me time until I have to pay off this obligation. For Noslozman, so Rekiva gave him this extension. Shamra, and he went and waited by this woman's house, and he saw when she came out on this Apasa Chatzera that she was standing at her door. Shiber Esakad Bifanel, he broke his pitcher of oil, or Barkis Hashemin, and there was a small amount of oil. Gilsas Raisha, so what she did was she took off her head covering, Vaismatapes Umanachas Biyade Al Raisha. She took the oil and used it to smear her head with it. Hamadallah Adim, and this person brought Adim that were able to testify that they saw that this is what she did. Balafnei Rekiva, and he came to Rekiva. Amalai, and then this person said to Rekiva a very compelling argument. Lazu, for this woman, you're telling me for having removed her head covering and the nois and Abba Meizuz, you're obligating me to give Arba Meizuz, you see that this woman is not embarrassed to go without a head covering. She was standing here without a head covering. She took it off in public. To which Rabbi Kiva said to him, I'm not accepting your argument. If somebody hits himself, which we're going to be discussing in our coming shiur, which Chazal, of course, is very, say, a person may not injure himself. Potter. But if somebody does injure themselves, there's no financial obligation. But Achem Shechavuba, if other people injure him, the Chayavim. So even though she, if she were to embarrass herself, is exempt, that doesn't exempt you or allow you to embarrass her. Says the Mishnah further, Hakaitzin Tiyasov, if somebody cuts off his trees, even though Apishen Rishoy, you're not allowed to cut your tree, there's an Isser about Tashchis, still the Halach is Potter. But if somebody else were to do it to your payment, the Halach, to your trees, Chayavim. So you see the Halacha recognizes that there's a difference if you do damage to yourself or somebody else did the damage to you. So we learned in the Mishnah that if somebody had to kay l'chaveri ba'oznoi, has to pay a mana. But throughout Shas, there are two types of coins. There's mana tsuri and there's mana medina. And the question is, what type of mana is being discussed here? Ibai with mana tsuri tanan, the mana that Rabbi Yosef Glil is saying that you have to pay a mana is mana tsuri, which is 100 zuz, which is much more, 8 times more valuable. And mana medina tanan, it's an eighth of the mana tsuri. Tashma, says the Gemara, the who gave the takalei l'chavrei. There was an individual who blew into another person's ear. Also, kamed Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, and the case was brought to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Amalei ha ano. Here, this is my opinion. Har Rabbi Yosef Glili, havlei manatsuri. You have to pay manatsuri. Shmami no. Says the Gemara. It's very clear that when the Mishnah Rabbi Yosef said mana, he meant manatsuri tanan. Shmami no. Says the Gemara. Mai. So, but now the Gemara wants to understand what did Rabbi Yosef Glili mean with that state? What did he mean? What did Rabbi Yehuda Anasi mean with the statement Ha'ano Rabbi Yosef Glili? Ilay Malcha Kamalei. If maybe what he meant to say was like this: Ha'ano de Chazisich, I saw you do this. For Rabbi Yosef Glili the Amar, so I know that this happened, and I know that Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion is that you have to pay manatsuri. And therefore, what I'm telling you is, Zil Havle Manatsuri, that now, because I know that this certainly happened, and I know that Rabbi Yosef Glili says that under such circumstances, you have to pay a Manatsuri. So that's why I'm saying pay the Manatsura. Says the Gemara, Lememra, does that mean the Eid Nasadayim. Now Gemara begins with a new sugya. And that is a sugya, can a person be both an aid to an event and be the dayan? So here it seems that Rabbi Yosef Galili is saying that an aid can be a dayan. For Tanya, but ask the Gemara, the Brisa Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Hei Amud Beis teaches us Sanhedrin Shiro Echad Sharek Sanefesh. If the Sanhedrin saw somebody kill someone else, Miktosan Nasa Edim or Miktosan Nasa Dayanim, some of the members of Sanhedrin should act in the role of Edim, and some should act in the role of Dayanim. Divrei Rav Tarfin, Rav Kiva Amar Kulam Edim Heim. They all saw the act. Once they saw it, they're Edim. The ain aid nasadayin. Somebody who's an aid can never also be the dayin. So if that's the case, ask the Gemara, how could Yehuda Nasiya, who observed and saw what happened here, be also the dayin? And says the Gemara, furthermore, at Kala Kamar of Tarfin, Eldim, Mitzosan Nasa Aidim, Mitzosan Nasa Dayanim. We take that Sanhedrin and we say some of you should act in the role of Aidim and some of you should act in the role of Dayanim. But that the same individual, asked the Gemara, I will aid that Rabbi Yehuda and Nasi should both be the aid and the dayan, even Rabbi Tarfon Lekomar, that should be acceptable. Answers the Gemara, Kitanya, he, Shira Belaila, the Loyal Mevadininanu. When is the halacha that aid cannot be dayan? The aidus is compared, the seeing the testimony is equivalent to offering the testimony. And testimony cannot be offered by night. Because the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph teaches us that Beis Din is not in session by night. So since the Eidus, which was seen at night, cannot be offered, that's why you can't be both an Eid and a Dayan. But if what they saw happened during the day, says the Gemara, that Rav Tarfin is not only going to hold that somebody who saw an act can be a Dayan, but he could wear both hats, because seeing the Eidus is no different than accepting the Eidus. So if I myself saw it, isn't that better than hearing from somebody else that saw it? So if I'm the Dayan and I saw it myself, not only does Rav Tarfin say, as long as I saw it at a time where testimony could be offered, would I be allowed to be a Dayan? But the Rishonim explained what the Gemara means to say is that if Tarfin is holding, I'm actually more suited to be a Dayan because I don't have to rely on somebody else's testimony who I don't know and I can't be certain is 100% accurate versus what I saw myself and I know happened. Vibay Seima, another way to understand, Hach Kamala. What Rabbi Yehuda Nasi meant to say was, Ha'anod the Sir like Rabbi Yosef Galili. I am in agreement with Rabbi Yosef Galili, the Omar that holds that if somebody's Tekei L'Chaveroi, the payment, the punishments that we've been discussing, the fines that we've been discussing in our Mishnah, not the fine, the payment for Boishas, is Manitsuri, for her, Sadi the Masadalach, and there are Edim that testify that you did this, and therefore, Zil Havlei, or of Yehuda Nasi, according to this Teretz, was focused on, was that the payment is paid in Manitsuri. Ask the Gemara, the Savar Bekiva Eid Nasadayin, is it true that when the Ein Eid Nasadayin, the Bekiva holds that an aid can't be a dying? Vatanya, the Brisa speaks about somebody who injures somebody else. The Pasuk says, V'hiki Ishas Reu, Be'evinoi Be'egrav, V'lo Yomas V'nofa L'mishkel. And why does the Torah say, Be'evin oy be'egrif? What's the difference how he did the injury? Says the Gemara Shimon and Tamani Omer, Ma egrif, miyuchat shemosol ha'edim ve'edim, that the egrif, the person who did this injury by hitting him, we bring that person to Beis Din, and they evaluate if this person could have done what he claimed he done. Af kol shemosol ha'edim, if that we have to be able to bring the way the person got injured to Beis Din. Prat l'shiyot v'tachs yadai, if the Edim saw the stone go out, stone hit the person, but we can't deliver that stone to Beis Din, if we can't deliver the stone to Beis Din, then we can't, and Beis Din should be able to make the assessment, then we can't kill the person. says Rav Chaim Brisker, that when the Evan, when we make this assessment, the Torah is teaching us that if it's done in a way, if it was done with a stone that can't kill, it's not considered an act of hariga. And therefore, since it's not considered an act of hariga, not only would the person who killed somebody with such a stone that we determine can't kill somebody not be killed, but he wouldn't even go to Golos. Amalei Rekiva, so Rekiva says to Shem and Yoni, Rekiva fnei Bezdin hikohu, did this act happen in front of Bezdin? Shiyama kamiko, the Bezdin should know that how much he was hit. Vamaiko, and why? Imalshoiko, was he hit on the hip? Aitzipanafshoi, or was he hit on the heart with, obviously, a stone thrown there is much more significant? Void. If somebody throws down somebody from a building, does Bezdin have to go to that building? Or this meant facetiously, or do we bring the building to Bezdin? Void. If the building fell down, would the halacha require us to rebuild the building to see if this is a way a person could have died? Ella, ma egrif miyuchat shemosol edim. When we speak about the egrif, as long as Edom saw what happened, af kol shemosol edim. Edom have to see what happened. Prat shiatu yada shemaka, if the Edom didn't see, then he would be potter. But what do we see from here, says the Gemara? Ketanimis, amalei Rabbi Akiva, v'chi bezdin hikol, did this happen from Bezdin? Shiyodin hakami kol, that Bezdin should be able to see, to tell us that yes, this is what happened. But it seems that if it would have happened in front of Bezdin, then they could be their own Edom. So isn't this a proof that Rabbi Akiva's opinion is, Hoikob efneyem eid na sedayin? Says the Gemara, L'drav rav Rav Shimon HaTamani comment. Rabbi Akiva was speaking according to Rabbi Shimon HaTamani, but he himself, Leilo Sfirle, he holds that an aid cannot be a dying.